I'm excited today. Today we get to have a Cedarville alum who is also the founder and CEO of Faster Way, which is a weight loss program, nutrition program, overall health program. We're going to hear more about that. Graduate here whose husband's also a graduate from Cedarville. And so Brandon is here on the front row, and Amanda is going to make her way on up to the stage with me. Would you welcome Brandon and Amanda Tress to chapel at Cedarville University? So I'm not going to tell you any more about Amanda because I want you to be able to hear it from her in our conversation today as we talk. So let's just start off with, tell us a little bit about your time at Cedarville.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me here. I really value this opportunity. I loved my time at Cedarville. I was not a straight A student, which I think is important to note, in fact. On my Insta stories yesterday, I shared one semester where I did get an A in tennis, but a C in history. So Dr. Thomas Mack, I apologize for that C. In fact, I do not believe I bought a book that semester. Okay. Because I was very frugal. No, I had a wonderful experience in Cedarville. I was a psychology major, which has been absolutely so valuable to me as I've grown my business and worked with clients. I truly appreciate the psychology department here. Luke C., Chuck Dolph, just really enjoyed that time as a psychology major. I actually started training clients my freshman year. So I started my business when I was a freshman here. I was very motivated to leave Cedarville without debt. I paid Brandon's way through school with cash as well. Worked about five jobs to do so, which maybe also was why I was not a straight A student. But
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us a little bit about why you're proud to be a graduate of Cedarville.
Yeah, absolutely. I am so proud to be a graduate of Cedarville. I tell people all the time that I went to Cedarville University, and here's why. The people here are incredible. You hear it from several speakers, I'm sure. I'm not the first one to say that, but listen, 10 years later, I am truly struck by the caliber of individual here on this campus. Everyone here is very passionate about following Christ, but not only that, a high values individual. And the people sitting next to you, those who are around you, are truly special and have so much potential to make a massive positive impact on the world. People who I graduated with from Cedarville have been doing incredible things to solve real problems, real issues. I often look at Cedarville first when I'm hiring for my company, and I'll apologize in advance for anyone else I might poach from Cedarville University. I'm proud to be a graduate because the people here are truly remarkable, and the more time I spend outside of Cedarville, the more I believe that.
That's great. And you also met one special person here while you were a student at Cedarville. So
We want to
hear more about that.
Yes, so I actually met this special person on the playground as he was burping the alphabet in first grade. Okay, so not when he was a student here.
Okay. I was wondering if he was burping the alphabet while a student at Cedarville.
That is attractive, but no.
Okay.
No, I met my husband, Brandon, in elementary school. The very first time I saw him, he was burping the alphabet. Love at first sight, clearly. We were best friends through elementary, middle school, high school. We dated a little bit in high school. I came here before Brandon. I dated a little bit. And actually, it's funny because I dated someone who I thought was a good potential to be my husband, very attractive and, you know, going to do great things. And my psychology professor, Dr. Dolph, he probably does not remember this, said to me, he said, you know, girls like you think that you'll marry the doctor or the attorney or you'll date the hottest person on campus. He said, but really, you should marry the guy next door. And when I heard that, I said, you know, there's something to that. And I broke up with the person I was dating, and who is possibly in this audience right now, too. I'm not sure.
And, I won't ask her name.
Yeah. We won't share names. Yeah. But I got together with Brandon again, started dating him again. We had taken a little time off, and we actually got married after Brandon's sophomore year. By that time, you know, we'd known each other for so long. We got married. I put him through school with cash, as I mentioned. We lived in married housing, which was really fun, and it was very cheap.
You lived down in Cedar Park?
I lived there for $335 a month.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Good
we
stewardship.
We got kicked out because we bought a dog, so we had to move to Xenia, but that's okay.
We love dogs around here, too. There's probably a pause for ability dog somewhere in the audience as I'm scanning and not finding, but that's okay. All right, so while you were here, you also started doing some training.
Yes.
That's kind of how you managed to graduate debt-free, but what started that initial interest in fitness for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was an athlete in high school. However, I actually struggled with health issues, and even as a 17-year-old, I had extremely high blood pressure, and so I was put on blood pressure medication. When I came to Cedarville, I was a freshman on blood pressure medication. I was about to go on metformin for blood sugar issues as well, and I was looking around like, I don't think anybody else here is on blood pressure meds. Maybe I should do some additional research and see if there's any way I can resolve this. So I started really educating myself regarding nutrition my freshman year, and I switched over to Whole Food Nutrition, which was possible at Chuck's at the time, and I weaned myself. It is now, too.
It's still possible now for you to do that.
There's a salad bar, let's be clear.
Salad bar, gluten-free line. I mean, yeah, it's possible. It takes willpower, though.
Yeah, that's right. I weaned myself off of blood pressure medication my freshman year, and I felt so much better. I switched to Whole Food Nutrition, and I started training clients my freshman year. I saw a gal in the fitness center. I then saw her later at Chuck's, and I said, hey, you know, so proud of you for being in there working out. Would you like some help? And she said, yeah, absolutely. So I started training her, and I have several other actually clients here who are former clients of mine in the fitness center. I started training for about $5 a session, $8 a session, even free, but it was great experience, and that's why I am where I am today.
Yeah. So before we start talking about the company, which is one of the fastest growing companies anywhere in the world, won an award for like 4,000% growth in Tampa Bay. I am one of those clients. So as a disclaimer here, I get no benefit from having one of our great alumni in chapel or from having her talk about her company, but it's my workout. So today, when I'm in the gym sweating horribly and not liking Amanda nearly as much as I do right now because of that work, you should just know that I love the program. And there's also a book. And so this book was also an Amazon bestseller. I think I've got a slide where it was featured in Times Square. Do we have that? Can we put that up there? I'm waiting on it. No, that's the picture of the book. This is not Times Square.
Just as good.
But there is a photo somewhere. Maybe it's not going to come up.
We'll post
there it
on
is,
Instagram
right there. There you go. So this is my wife's bookmark, by the way, if you're wondering. No, I don't have. But we do actually read the book, too, which that proves. So get the book, dive in. So let's just jump in right there. So you started out, and then you founded a company, which has just done amazing. But I want you to tell us some of the story behind that. How did that happen?
Yeah, really great question. So I founded my company as a marketing and fitness company several years ago. I initially started training clients online, simply one-on-one. I also had an agency for females in the fitness industry who wanted to learn how to market their company. I then, in 2016, started the Faster Way to Fat Loss program, and I started it with 11 clients, many of whom are in this audience right now. In fact, I walked around Tyler, and I strong-armed several people into joining me. I said, I'm starting something new. We're going to be fasting. We're going to be tracking macros. You should do it. And I'd have people say, well, it sounds hard. I don't really want to. And I'm like, I will be back in 10 minutes. Write me a check. Let's go. So that is how I got my first 11 into the program. Many people actually from Cedarville were in that initial round. And my clients experienced incredible incredible results. And these were clients who had struggled with plateau for a long period of time. And so after my first group went through the program, I knew that we were on to something. In fact, I had one client here at Cedarville who started fasting with me, and she lost 13 pounds in 3 weeks, or 16 pounds in 3 weeks, something truly remarkable. And so I empowered my clients to be influencers for the brand and help me spread the word about the Faster Way. And since then, we have grossed nearly $50 million. We have a $100 million valuation. We haven't done any advertising or any fancy PR. We've simply grown via word of mouth referrals in a way that is authentic and organic in a marketplace when we're just hit with all of these spammy ads. So it's been really exciting.
And you have several coaches and others who are here. Would you guys stand and let us welcome all of you? Others that are helping with the program. Scott, that was weak. You just barely stood up. We'll give you a hard time about that tomorrow.
Yeah, Scott.
So I will say I've done a lot of weightlifting. I have really bad eating habits. Anybody out there with me that have bad eating habits? All right.
Y'all need the faster way.
So in doing this program, I don't know that I meant to have confession time, but my job is a desk job. So I sit at my desk all day long and then have meetings and then eat. So I had gotten plateaued about 210 and now I'm down to 196 last week was the scale. But now she says, don't ever step on the scale, which
that
I break
true.
All the time because I do it daily. But that's my own personal problem. So, but with carb cycling, with these workouts, with everything that's happening, I would say to you or those watching online that you should check out the program because this has, with a desk job and a busy schedule, has allowed me to be much healthier. And the workouts are really hard in ways that I need them. Cardio, which I don't like to do, and legs, which I don't like to do either. And so thank you for developing such a great program.
You're welcome.
Can we give it up?
And if you are sitting here in this audience, I am going to be sending a follow-up email per Dr. White or via Dr. White, and we will have a bit of a coupon code in there for you, which, by the way, in 3.5 years, I've never done, but I did feel strongly that it was something I wanted to offer to all of you.
Isn't that awesome? Thank you. All right, so you started a company.
Yes.
You were pretty bold in that. Did you have any failures or were you ever afraid to fail?
That is a great question. In regard to was I afraid to fail or did I question whether or not the company would be a success, the true answer is no. And Matt Dearden, Scott can attest to this. I have been very confident in the fact that God has given me the responsibility to be a queen of business. In fact, when I was at Cedarville, and this is a little tangent, but I believe it's important. When I was at Cedarville, I took a poverty class where we actually experienced a poverty weekend. And many of my classmates at the time through this particular class felt very passionate about pursuing inner city ministry after seeing poverty in actually Springfield, Ohio. And at the end of the semester, at the end of the class, I wrote a paper and I said to my professor, I said, listen, I am so crystal clear on my purpose. And it is not to go into inner city ministry, it is to be a queen of business. I said, I am here on this earth to be a queen of business. That is how I can make the biggest dent on the universe. I will accumulate significant income so I can then recirculate my wealth to my family, my church, and community. And so that clarity came when I was at Cedarville, and since then I've had the confidence that God will bless me. So, you know, ask Matt or Scott, who I said, even when I was 22, you know, I'm going to be a millionaire by 30. And, you know, Scott and Matt are like, okay, how are you going to do that? I'm like, I have no idea, but that's okay. You know, I'm sure that it's going to happen. But you know, the fact of the matter is I've been confident that my purpose is to build an empire, be a queen of business. However, I've dealt with many struggles, many failures. However, failures don't make me someone who has failed overall. I've had more successes than failures. And so an important note, especially for any of you who are entrepreneurial, is that you've got to get into forward motion. If you feel really strongly that God has given you a passion and a purpose, listen, he's going to give you the resources to be successful long-term. Like the God who created the galaxies gave you a purpose. And so for you to second guess that and not get into forward motion because you're afraid about looking bad or a little failure, like you are going to prevent yourself from having a positive impact on those around you if you allow the fear of failure to get in your way. And I've had big failures. I'm happy to share more about those.
How many of you would like to hear about failure? Yeah. I see some hands up there.
So
those
many.
Are our introverts.
So
and
many.
I see some extroverts clapping loudly. I'll be honest, there are times where I have a fear of failure. And there are times where I have failures and I think, oh, this is going to be defining. But it's really not. But share with us, how about your biggest or most embarrassing failure?
Interesting. Well, I can share a recent failure that was very expensive to the tune of $500,000. And it happened fairly recently. This particular failure was as a result of hiring the wrong person for my company. Not everything I touch turns to gold. I make a lot of right decisions, and I can definitely credit the Lord for giving me wisdom when it comes to hiring decisions. But occasionally I'll make a poor hiring decision. And not too long ago, one of the staffers that I hired decided to sign some contracts when I was out of town. And per his contract, he did not have permission to sign for the company or the authority to bind the company. However, he signed a few things trying to be helpful, did not show me the contract, ask me for permission. And when I got back into town and started unwinding a few things, I saw that we had entered into some pretty poor contracts. Things that wouldn't benefit my company long term. In fact, contracts that would negatively impact my company. For example, a white label contract where I wouldn't own the code or the product or the data. And so I started unwinding these things. And unfortunately, although he did not have permission to sign, he did not have authority to bind my company, outside vendors really don't care about that. Outside vendors are going to do what they need to do to get your money. And so we went back and forth. I had to make some really hard phone calls to CEOs of other companies, both big and small. And unfortunately, I ended up having to pay a significant amount of money to just simply cancel the contracts. In one case, it was $90,000. And that was $90,000 of my money that I will never see. It went down the toilet. And so it was a really hard situation and failure for me. And I would like to share that now I feel very grateful for that lesson. Any trial or challenge that happens is really happening for us, not to us. God gives us challenges and trials so that we can then learn from those and also inspire other people as we go through those challenges. And this particular failure was really difficult for me to handle because I hate to waste money. And my family and I, we were walking up a bridge by our house, and we had all the kids with us. We had, you know, Brandon and I were walking, and we were just talking about how awful and how frustrating this situation was. And we got to the top and I said, you know what, we're going to put it behind us. We've been really strategic and good stewards of our income. So it's just a blip on the radar. Let's put it behind us. And, you know, we've done the right thing by canceling these contracts. So we made that decision and started walking down the bridge on the same path. So the same direction that we had walked up, we started then walking down. And as we were walking down, we found a trail of 7 pennies. And it was really cool because on the way up, no one saw the pennies. The pennies weren't there or we didn't see them. On the way down, we found a trail of 7 pennies. And I picked those up and my kindergartner said to my daughter, he said, God left those pennies for mommy. And I said, you're right, he did. 7 is the perfect number. It was confirmation to me that we were doing the right things for the right reasons. And so it was really a blessing to have that experience.
That's awesome. Amazing how kids can teach us as well,
yes,
huh?
Yes, absolutely.
So nice lead in to tell us about your family.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a second grader who is absolutely adorable. She's very sassy and independent and a star soccer player, in my opinion. We have a kindergartner whose name is Cole. He is the sweetest little boy. He has a servant spirit. He's kind of the big man on campus in kindergarten, so that's a lot of fun. And then we also have a 20-month-old who is quite the wild woman. She is our little bonus baby, and we are grateful for her, and she keeps us busy and on our toes.
All right. So how do you handle it all then? Three children...
Yeah.
A super fast growing business church.
Yeah, great question. So we have incredible help. We have delegated strategically at home. We have an amazing support staff who helps us with cleaning and cooking and taking care of the kiddos. I like to focus my time with the kiddos on things that are fun, and I coach their soccer games and their soccer practices, and Lily and I, you know, see each other all day because she's at home as well. But we also have an incredible team for the business. Monica Bowen is sitting there. She's on the Dream Team. We have several Dream Team members who are with us in Tampa who are helping us take things to the next level. And then Brandon and I are truly partners at home. We don't simply say, well, you know, typically the wife would do this or that, and the husband, like, we are partners and we do 50-50 and we get it done and try to stay organized. We're still working on that.
Okay, that's good. All right. So fitness company.
Yes.
Overall wellness. So perhaps we have somebody in the audience that is not being a good steward of their body or taking care of themselves in the way they should so that they can maximize that. So help me out here. Talk to me a little bit about stewardship of our bodies and how important it is to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. My vision is to equip and empower individuals all over the world to get well, prevent disease, and fulfill their purpose with energy. I take my clients to church every morning when we work out together. We think through God's expectation of us. We think through how we can fulfill our purpose in the most comprehensive way possible. And listen, you need health for that. You need energy for that. It is our responsibility as Christ followers to take care of our temples. And if you're not doing that, then I strongly consider that you read your Bible, because there is quite a bit in the Bible about health and wellness, nutrition, really taking care of our bodies. So a little tiny bit of tough love, but again, we want to do good in the world, and if we feel good, then we're able to do more good. So it's really important that we continue to prioritize that.
Now, she probably wouldn't say this, but a couple things I want to make sure you know is they do Facebook Live videos.
Yes.
For those who are in the fitness program, and I don't know how she talks in between all of those exercises she has us doing, but frequently, there are little tidbits of a biblical worldview communicated to all of the clients, many of whom I would suspect are not believers.
Right.
And so I get to watch that, listen to it, as there's just solid biblical worldview communicated out on stewardship, on generosity. I've been amazed at some of your generosity that you've done for various areas. And then Instagram, with all of your followers, I see frequently pictures of going to church. And so I just want to say thank you for the way you're using the platform God's given you to communicate biblical truth into the world.
Thank you.
And it's a great example for all of us. God gives us all a platform. We use that platform well to communicate biblical truth. And so let's make sure that we do that as good stewards as well. So you have been incredibly successful at a pretty young age. You're like 18, right?
thank you, yes.
So how do you handle that success?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, you know, I think anyone who's known Brandon and myself for the past 10 years will say we are exactly the same as we were a decade ago. I think for us, it's been really important to maintain the right perspective. We really look at our business as our vehicle to fulfill our God-given purpose. We're doing kingdom work. We are strategic about how we manage our wealth, but we don't think of it as just simply our money. We're really considering ways that we can recirculate our wealth in a meaningful way. But I think it's also important to measure the right metrics or consider the right metrics for success and create your own definition of success. My definition of success doesn't necessarily involve simply having a $100 million company. I have been very financially successful. However, That isn't what is most important to me. When I pass away someday, I want people to be at the funeral speaking about the ways that I've impacted them. But when they speak to my kids and say, you know, your mom did this and that, and it's just amazing, and your mom was so great, I want Emma to turn around and say, you have no idea how awesome my mom was, right? Because we need to be famous at home and in heaven, as our friend Michelle Myers would say. But I think it's important as you consider your career path to really consider your purpose, your mission, your vision, and it should never be income. If it is money and you make millions of dollars, I have a tip for you. You will not be satisfied or fulfilled with just simply income. You've got to pursue your purpose and be sure that you're really praying through that and considering that even now as you're at Cedarville.
That's good. All right, so we're doing Nehemiah this year, and Nehemiah calls people to a higher purpose. It's not just about building a wall. It's about the glory of God in Jerusalem. So here is some God interweaving something for somebody out here that needs to hear that. And this morning, I'm happened to be reading through Ecclesiastes in my quiet time, and this morning, reading the verses on those who pursue wealth will never be satisfied with it.
Absolutely.
And so it can't be our ultimate purpose that we're after. So God, in an audience this size, God has probably placed it on a few of you to be entrepreneurs. Anybody that would just say, yep, that's what I want to do. I have a tendency to entrepreneurship. We've got several. All right, so entrepreneurs typically don't succeed, or they fail many times before they succeed. And so that's okay. You just have to succeed once. You can fail like 10 times and then succeed once, and it'll be great. But what advice would you have for our entrepreneurs in the audience?
Yeah, really great question. And I'm so grateful to see some hands raised. That is awesome. Here's the deal. If you have entrepreneurial tendencies, if you want to solve problems, create your own way of doing so, my best advice is to be patient. We often overestimate what we can accomplish in a year. However, we underestimate what we can accomplish in a decade. Brandon and I have been consistent for an entire decade. And so we were not an overnight success. It was not a situation where we just came up with this idea and things took off. So patience is absolutely so vital. And really, again, just consider how you can solve problems in the world, big problems in the world. There are a lot of entrepreneurs right now on the West Coast. I'm in meetings with these people. I am well connected within the entrepreneurial space. And there are more and more people who have less and less desire to see value-based or faith-based content be shared. And it's really important that if you are serious about being an entrepreneur, you keep the right mindset and you stay strong in your faith as you go, because it's very few and far between those of us who are Christ followers who are also really powerful entrepreneurs. In fact, it can be really lonely, but if you're serious about creating a company and solving problems, do it for the right reasons and God will bless you.
That's awesome. And we have our entrepreneurship accelerator here on campus. Good. And so we are going to, I see no reason why Cedarville shouldn't be the hub for the next 100 or 1,000 new companies that actually share a biblical worldview.
Yes, love
ministering.
That.
And we can take care of more poverty if we develop more wealth to give more than if we just all sign up for inner city ministry.
Absolutely.
So
yes.
Some of you need to do inner city ministry. Some of you need to make millions and give millions away to help those so that they can be educated or do better. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got a lot of students in here. What do we have, 3,000 plus in here? What advice would you give them about making the most of their time at Cedarville?
Wow, that is a great question. I would say beyond simply becoming crystal clear on your mission, your vision, your purpose, look around and get to know the people here. I said it when we first started, but those of you sitting in these seats are truly special. You have incredible potential. Get to know the people around you. I've made some amazing connections here at Cedarville, and people who I've now hired to work for my company from Cedarville, like for example, Monica, have helped me go to the next level and expand my vision. But it's very possible that The person you're sitting next to will be a colleague of yours in the future. It's very possible that the person sitting three rows behind you will be a great staffer for your company someday. And get to know the professors as well. The professors here are truly amazing. They care. They're so passionate about your success. Get to know them. Get to know the alumni. And I think the people here are absolutely, we need to rise together as a Cedarville community. I speak with my community about that quite a bit, but we need to rise together. We need to rise to our highest potential in the marketplace. That is how we're really going to make a huge positive impact.
All right, so some of you really like the fact that the person three rows behind you is going to work for you someday, right? I saw some elbows going out here. All right, so I want to circle back to one other item.
Yes.
So fitness and stewardship, incredibly important.
Yes.
But there's probably a few that are way too focused on outward appearance or too focused about finding their value or worth just in that outward appearance and not identity in Christ.
Yeah.
We've heard those stories. I love the fact that on the cover of your book, there is a donut.
Yeah.
And so for those that may be struggling with image and worried about that and eating next to nothing,
yeah.
Can you offer a little guidance for somebody that might be struggling with that this
morning?
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, there are two conversations. One is a person who is crash dieting or, choosing to pursue habits that really are not going to be sustainable or healthy long term. My program and my philosophies are truly based in the Bible. I am passionate about educating women and men to consume the right amount of foods to fuel their body. And I often tell my clients that you should consume foods that come from the ground or have a mother. And really, those are foods that God created or intended for us to eat. And so really considering how you can function most optimally, if you consume enough of the right foods, your hormones are going to be balanced. You're going to be able to burn fat. You'll have the energy to get through the day. You're not going to need 7 cups of coffee. So I really feel that's important. Yeah.
So, all right. So, food that has a mother. You got that,
yes,
right? Some
yes.
of you were still processing that on down. Yeah.
Like a chicken, for example. Yes.
So, meat. Yes.
Meat,
especially
yes.
on low carb days.
Yeah.
So that's what I enjoy. Anyway, all right. So intermittent fasting. Fasting's
yes.
important.
Yes.
Carb cycling
yes.
is something that I've learned about through this program.
Yes.
And then making sure you have balanced workouts and routines all throughout. And we track what we eat so we
right.
don't gorge ourselves like I tend to do in stressful weeks like this week.
Right.
So,
yes. Let me say one very quick thing about intermittent fasting. So you really need three elements to be highly successful as you pursue your ambitious health and wellness goals long term. You should fast. Fasting is a biblical concept as well. We do not fast all day. We fast for 16 hours and we eat or we feed for 8 hours. It's really positive to give your body longer to heal. It's good to have longer for digestive rest. Fasting will boost your immune system, increase your energy, but it's also important to eat the right amount of macronutrients and micronutrients so you can thrive. If you undereat and overexercise long term, we're going to have problems. Okay? If you use your common sense, you undereat, you overexercise long term, something's going to break. That something is likely your thyroid, you'll have adrenal fatigue, other issues. But then the third element for success is community. It's so important to be in community with other people who are like-minded and who are also pursuing health and wellness.
And when she talked about macro, if you have no clue what that is,
yeah.
buy the book. Just
yeah,
just get the book. We're not going to go there. All right. So you've been incredibly successful. Some would love to be incredibly successful, but I'm not sure they want to work hard enough to be incredibly successful.
Yeah.
So talk to us about, is it hard work or did it just come easy or
super
what should
easy.
We be prepared
super easy,
for?
Dr. White.
Uh-huh.
That's a great question. Hard work is absolutely key, especially as you're getting started. When I was at Cedarville, I trained clients, as I mentioned, for $5 a session or $8 a session, or even sometimes free. I wanted to get experience. I worked 5 jobs when I was a Cedarville student simply to earn money so I could then reinvest in my company and leave school without debt. Hard work is absolutely essential, but you've also got to be smart. You can't just simply hustle. You've got to find the right team members to bring on so they can help you get to the next level. You've got to be strategic about how you delegate. You have to be willing to step back and consider the big picture as well, in addition to doing hard work. But, you know, Brandon and I, for about a decade, we put our head down. And we didn't do, you know, the typical college partying and this and that, which people here at Cedarville don't do. But it is funny because we do seem to be a little bit ahead of some of our older entrepreneurial friends, because we're like, listen, we were working hard even when we were at Cedarville in college. So yeah, great question.
Okay. Would you all join me in expressing appreciation to Brandon and Amanda for coming up?